Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Well, hello and happy weekend to you. Frank Rush here. It is another Focus on Community. By the way, if you miss any part of today's program, you can always catch it right now on our website. It's there as a podcast. You can stream it or download it. Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett joins us today. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Frank. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad at all. Things in Terre Haute going well?
Yeah, they really are. You know, people ask me that periodically. They'll just say, you know, in spite of COVID, we seem to be doing okay. And I agree with that. It's the last year and a half's been kind of wacky. We all know that. But yet a lot of things kept moving. And then now we're kind of seeing some of the fruits of that labor all of a sudden here. It's been a really busy fall. You know, getting in the police station's been a big deal for me this year. So that took a lot of time. But just the convention center and all the paving projects we did this year, I mean, to me, it was a really exciting year. So it's been good.
So talk about the police station since you brought it up. Mm-hmm. I was going to get to that eventually at some point, but okay. You brought it up, so let's go ahead and hit on it.
Well, it's a hot topic.
Yeah, and it really, I mean, okay, obviously the entire community doesn't get to go through it. You know, it's just kind of the nature of the beast.
Yep.
I was fortunate enough to be able to take the tour on the ribbon cutting day.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, you know.
And it's not nice to the point to where it was wasted money bought a bunch of stuff that nobody needed.
Right.
Because when you actually take the walk through it, in my opinion, not being in law enforcement, it's pretty. It's nice. It's big. It's not overdone. We're not talking, you know, silk carpets and tapestries on the wall and a lot of stuff that wasn't needed. I mean, it's a lot of very basic items that they need to do their job. But it's all nice.
I mean, it's an office building, and we kind of stripped it down and built it back up, you know, from the walls and the floors, and everything's new on the inside. And it really, when you walk in there, you can't tell that it's not a new building. I mean, it looks great from that perspective, but I think the key is the workflow. You know, Chief Keene spent a lot of time working with each individual department, a lot of individual officers about how can we make the space function as best as we can, and then the technology that's in there that really helps everybody become more efficient. So as you come to work, you can get to your area very easily, you can get to the things you need to get to, and then the tools you have available allows you to do your job, you know, much faster and be able to do more things. And so it's really well thought out besides looking great.
That's one of the things that I noticed when we took the tour that day was how technologically advanced it is. Now, not to the point where money was wasted, but I mean, when it comes to technology, it's kind of a showpiece for that, and that lets those guys do their job a lot faster and a lot more efficiently.
You know, there's always changes in the industry. You know, the police, they go to conferences and they go to other places and see tools and computers and just a variety of things that can help you do your job, and would like, boy, if we had that, you know, we'd be able to solve these crimes a lot faster, those kind of things. And we just really hadn't been in a position to do that in the past because we knew we were going to get a new building and we wanted to target it for that. And so we were able to put all that in there, and we're still under budget. You know, we added some things on at the end just to give us that technological edge against the criminals, and it's going to allow them to do a lot more than they've ever been able to do.
Yeah, and each department has adequate space now too, because when it comes to the crime labs and those kind of things, I mean, there's a lot of work that gets done there. And those guys, once they go out and get the evidence, they come back, they're in that hole, that office, whatever you want to call it, until it's done.
Yep.
You know, and this gives them the room to actually work on several cases all at the same time.
Yep, they can do that. There's room for us to grow if we need to add any staff in the future. I mean, it wasn't, we've always been in tight space. This is the fourth police station the city's had in our history. And every time they've outgrown it, and just because, you know, things change, and whether you have more people or not, you need more space for storage and a variety of other things. And this building has lots of interrogation rooms, conference rooms. It's got a public space in there that can be utilized by some folks. And it just has all those things that we never had before all in one place. And so I am extremely happy with it. The officers are extremely happy, and I'm hopeful the community. We got a good deal on it. We saved money, and we got 10,000 extra square feet out of it.
Not
of
bad.
What it would have cost us to build the building we were going to build.
Don't you wish you could do that when you built your house?
Yeah, that just doesn't happen very often. We were very fortunate.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, one of the things that kind of got me when we talk about the technology, and folks are going to go, well, that's kind of simple. There's big monitors in several of the areas, and they have calls for service listed on there. So that way, even though if they're in-house doing paperwork, whatever, everybody's within eyeshot of a monitor, and they can say, wow, we're getting busy, and we need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Before they even get the call on their radio, they can look up and watch the calls coming in and say, we got a problem over here. Let's go.
Yep.
And that keeps them on the road a lot quicker and helps people out.
It's all real time like that. So whether they're in the conference room or they're in a training kind of a thing, they know exactly what's going on out in the field. And if they do pop in for a second, they can immediately get out. They log onto their computer and they say, I'm taking that call. And then they go take care of it. And all of that, just having that information at your fingertips makes you much more efficient.
And it'll be there for years to come.
Yep, it will. I hope this thing lasts another 100 years.
Convention center is the next big thing. I don't know how much technology is involved there, but there's quite a bit.
Yep, there is. You know, it's going to be a state-of-the-art facility from audio and visual kind of setup. So, you know, conferences obviously need that kind of those tools to be able to do what they need to do. The kitchen is phenomenal, huge commercial kitchen. They can, whether the food comes in and it needs to be kept warm or prepared there, it's got all the amenities and things that we need to be able to hit those, you know, 200-400 people conferences that there are lots and lots of those all across the Midwest.
And the obvious question that I know you've gotten before, I've heard it, I may have even said it myself once or twice. All right, it's all pretty, it's all nice. Who wants to come to Terre Haute?
Well, apparently a lot of people, because, you know, I know of multiple groups, whether it's some, you know, we got the fire union that's coming here. Hopefully we'll be able to bring the AFL-CIO back. They used to have their annual conference in Terre Haute every year.
Really? Okay.
And when it was at the Holiday Inn, and when they got rid of that space, they moved up to Gary. So there's a lot of groups that like to move around. You know, every few years they move all around, and Terre Haute's a place they've all wanted to come to, but we've never had any space to host anybody.
We're easy to get to, for one.
Easy. So I think you're going to see a huge uptick in people coming to our community over the next few years.
And that leads more to tourism and increase there.
It's all part of our community plan. You know, retail is not what it was. You know, we've always been a huge retail community.
Right.
We've got to find something to fill that niche, and tourism is really what that is. And so when you look at the casino, you look at the convention center, you look at the outdoor amenities we have all around us, from the Griffin Bike Park to the cross-country track. I'll give you an example. When we had that, when the Air Force came here a few weeks ago and did their two-week training.
That was cool, by the way.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
There were 1,200 airmen and ground crew that were here for 2 weeks, booked all our hotels, and then they were off every third day or whatever. And some of them were off in the morning and then worked in the evenings and vice versa. They were looking for things to do. Mm-hmm. They were out visiting a lot of these things that we have. And it's kind of like, you know, they all said, Terre Haute's a pretty cool place. We had no idea. Some of them never even heard of Terre Haute. And, you know, that's the kind of thing. You've got to expose people to it, but you have to have stuff for people to do or they're not going to want to come here. So that's what that's all about, that quality of life component.
You mentioned retail is on the downslide, and that's pretty obvious to folks who live here.
Yep.
I mean, you know.
It's a big change.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be Honey Creek Mall was like,
it was the place.
You talk about a convention. I mean, there was thousands of people in there. You couldn't move in, you know, on Black Friday. You couldn't even get into the parking lot. Now.
Yeah, much different.
Now there is an idea, at least for some people, and this leads into our next thing, and that is some folks think about maybe putting a casino in there. That's at least one of the proposals that's up.
Well, I guess if you were a casino owner and you were putting a bid on something like that, you could almost buy the mall, the whole mall,
for a lot
and remodel it for a lot less than what they're proposing. But that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
You know, the mall is going to have to evolve into something else. It's not just going to be retail stores like that. You're going to have to see a hotel, motel come in there, some apartments, a doctor's or dentist's office or lawyer's offices. I can see it turning into kind of a mini community at some point where it serves in a different way than it has in the past. You know, one of the proposals is to put a casino in the old Macy space, and until they get their new one built. So that'd be a temporary one, I should say. You know, that's been done in other communities, but I worry a little bit too. Will they just stay there and not build, you know, the big building that we all hope that we can put construction workers and they need that big space. But, you know, you never know what they might, you know, that's what they propose. So we'll see how that plays.
Well, and let's face it, like you mentioned, retail's changed. And some of the stores that once occupied the mall will never come back because they no longer exist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'll ever see Sears come back. Macy's, yeah, they're still in business, but they're a lot smaller than they once were.
Yeah.
Elder Beerman, which originally back in the day, for those of you who remember the history of Terre Haute, started out as Meese.
Yes, it did.
They're bankrupt and gone. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even if you wanted to bring back retail down there, what would you put in it?
It'll always be, as we move forward, smaller, you know, yeah, specialty things. But you have to have enough of that or a reason for people to go to shop in those places. It's like downtown or 12 Points or the mall, whatever you want to pick. You have to have a reason for people to come there, and then they spend some time. They go eat, and you know, they go shop. That's why I think you're going to see a continuous evolution of those kind of those shopping areas. I mean, the Meadows is doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they would love to have more foot traffic in there, but those businesses out there are hanging in there. Some of them have been there quite a few years now, and you know, you got a new hardware store coming in. So there, you just have to do the niche kind of retail where people will want to be there.
And just to put it out there, the mall in Terre Haute is not a standalone problem. The same problems they face are going on at malls
everywhere,
even in Indianapolis.
Absolutely.
You know, where some of the bigger malls in Indy, I mean, there's really only two left up there now. At one time there was four or five, but there's really only, I think, Greenwood and Castleton are about the only two really for shopping, or about the only two left that I can think
of. Well, I walked through part of Circle Center Mall this past week
when I had some
meetings over there.
Yeah.
And because I'm cheap and I spend $3 to park while I'm over there instead of $11 an hour at some of those other ones. And it's like things are closed, the restaurants. I mean, I was only on that one end, the north end, I guess. But it's like, it's 5 years ago, that place was bustling. Everything was going. It's not like that anymore. And that's downtown Indianapolis with all those workers downtown, and they can't make it work.
Yeah. And when they used to, or they still have Colts games, Holmes game, you know, Pacers are down there, you know. I mean,
so they get those hits, you know, periodic, but it's not that regular flow of people, and they can't make it work.
And the pandemic, I'm sure, is playing some part in that.
Absolutely.
Because let's face it, there are not as many office workers
downtown,
even in Indy, that there once were. And I mean, thousands
they
less.
They couldn't survive. You know, they just couldn't make it through that. So what it looks like 5 years from now, I don't know. But I think you're going to see our mall begin to evolve into something a bit not the normal all retail kind of a look.
Talk about the casino. It looks like we're going to get one, but who's going to?
We will get one.
Who's going to do it?
You know, I really don't know who they're going to pick. I don't have any indicators at all. We don't get a choice in it. We can write a letter like everybody else can.
Yeah.
But we think the best brand is Hard Rock. Everybody I talk to says that. People in the industry say that, you know, who know the business. They're like, you got to have a brand. That's the one of the most important things. And Hard Rock is one of the top 10 brands internationally in the casino business. And it's like, that would be the best fit for us because it's going to draw more people. It's going to make more money for the casino. It's going to make more money for the community. That's where I'm pointed at. It's just, I really think that brand is a big piece of this. And I'd love to see Greg be involved in this, you know, Greg Gibson, because he's the one that was going to do it on his own before with Hard Rock is running it.
Right.
And this model will probably look a lot different. Hard Rock will own it and Greg will be a, you know, minority partner. But I would love to have that local ownership component to it.
Well, and his proposal, I believe, does throw a little bit more cash toward the local governments.
It does. And he's just, you know, he's a giving guy. He really is. He does a lot of things that people don't even know about. And that's the kind of partner you want. We don't know these other folks. Maybe they'll be great partners too, but that's kind of a known entity with Greg.
Just an observation. You've looked at all those proposals,
yep,
right? There's what, four?
Four.
Okay. Doesn't that one look like a waffle iron?
You know, when I first saw that, I thought, what is this supposed to represent? It's very unique. Let's put it that way.
It's very unique. To me, it looks like a waffle iron on its side. Yeah. I don't know why.
It is a very different kind of proposal. And I think that was their make it stand out. I guess we'll see. I don't know how much that really goes into the decision-making process of the Gaming Commission.
Yeah,
you know, they look at the dollars and who the investors are. Can they make it work? You know? And so that's the most important piece. I think all of the proposals look great from that perspective, but I just think the Hard Rock brand is my focus. I really think that's best for our community.
Any particular opinion on where you'd like to see it go?
I think that 4670 corridor is the best place because the goal is to draw people from the west side of Indy, from Effingham, you know, the circle that you draw. And I think that's the easiest way to get on and off the interstate, and it's going to help be successful if it's that.
Does it help us more east south, or does it matter?
I think east, but you know, once again, you build it and maybe they'll come, maybe that won't matter. But my thinking is the east side's where it's growing. That will help us grow other things. So I'm a little bit more, you know, I'm leaning towards that east side, cause that's going to help additional development out there.
And it's also going to play a role in how the city plans what it does with its funding that it's got, because is it all that out there annexed into the city limits now or close?
Yeah, it goes just beyond the east side of 46. The airport is in the city, and then down Margaret a little bit. I-70 is kind of the buffer, everything north of I-70. So, you know, that's our growth area. And we've made some investments in sewers and infrastructure out there, and we're going to do some more road work once more things start building behind the Walmart area.
I was going to say, once they start doing that out there, I mean, just because they're building it doesn't mean that the city sits back and smiles and goes, okay, this is great, but you've got expenses coming at you too, because you've got to build roads and all that.
We need a new fire station out there. We're making a lot of calls now, and when you bring over 1 million people a year to the casino, you're going to have even more calls out there for service. And so we're gonna need to build a new firehouse to serve that area out there, and kind of do some consolidation and rework of some of our other stations.
That will include not just firefighters, but EMTs, paramedics, and ambulance.
Yeah, it's probably
going to
be an engine company and an ambulance, just because 80% of our calls are medical related. I mean, that's the nature of fire business these days.
Yeah, that's why you always see a fire truck show up first sometimes at wrecks.
Yes, and I get complaints about that. It's like, why are we sending that? Because they're paramedics on those fire trucks. And so if they get to your house first, you're having a heart attack, the ambulance is on the other side of town, that fire truck's going to get there and save your life.
And aren't all of the firefighters in Terre Haute paramedics now?
Not all, but we're working on that. Okay. Every rig has paramedics on it every shift, but we're getting to the point where everybody will be.
And that's a good thing.
It is, because 80% of our runs are medical, so don't you want a paramedic working on you?
Yeah. And the other thing before we get out of here, and that is, we've talked about this before, and this all kind of plays into tourism and all that. City parks, we've got one of the nicest city park systems.
We have an excellent. We've always had that. Yeah. And, you know,
Deming's gorgeous, but the other ones we've got are pretty sharp too.
They are. And we're going to be making some investments in a lot of parks with some of our ARPA funds, the, you know, American Recovery Plan funds, and hopefully with some of the money we'll get from the Ready Grant we just applied for. Mm-hmm. And then some casino money that'll eventually, you know, come in. We're going to start investing in some of those inner city parks and try to improve them too. And so parks are a very strategic part of my plan.
That's good. A lot of folks are screaming, and me personally, I'm not into it, but a lot of folks want splash pads, water parks, and that kind of stuff. Okay, cool. If that's what you're into, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Going to build one, or do you wait, sit back, and just try to make it good for a private business to build their own?
Well, you know, that would be the best option if we didn't have to use any government money for that, but it's unlikely. Our season just isn't long enough here for a private person to come in, unless they put it all indoors, and that's probably not going to happen here. So there's two things. One is we're going to put splash pads in multiple city parks, smaller splash pads where people can just go splash around for free and do your thing and cool off in the summer. But we are going to look for that bigger opportunity to do something similar to Plainfield, what they have that we've talked about, for an indoor-outdoor facility so it can be used year-round. And we put it in our Ready Grant, so we've asked for funds for that. But if that doesn't play out for us, we will find other funding sources. Our surveys to the community, that was one of the top two items. We're going to get that done.
Okay, we've talked about everything either getting done, has been done, or is certainly on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else out there that you want to do besides what we've kind of talked about?
You know, I want to do more riverfront development. So that's going to be a big push for us. We think there's some opportunities to take advantage of the river. We've done some great things over the last 12, 13, 14 years, but there's still more to do. There's brownfield cleanups, the things that need to happen so that land can be used. And I think we can really get some private development along the river. So that's going to be a big focus area for me the next few years.
Because right now, some of that area is not what you would consider to be attractive.
No. And so one, it's unattractive, but two, it's dirty, which you can't see that's in the ground.
Yeah.
And we need to correct that. And so some of it, you know, obviously is privately owned. Some of it's publicly owned. We'll get that figured out. And we're going to update our plan soon, and we'll have a new strategy for that.
Fairbanks is still gorgeous, though.
It is, but we're going to be making some improvements there.
You're not going to bring
10
back
projects
that,
in that park.
You're not going to bring back that fountain, are you?
Well, we're going to do something different with it.
Okay.
So we're going to leave it in there, but we're going to reutilize it. So we're going to have, you'll hear about more about that first of the year. I've got a consultant working on the master plan, and they're going to roll that out in 4 months, and then we'll make it public.
If folks have a question for the mayor's office, they can usually get a hold of you guys by what, email, phone, and all that kind of stuff?
All that. Just call 311 if you have to, you know, if you're in the city. I mean, if you're in Vigo County, you can call 311, but it's just get a hold of us. I mean, I'd love to hear suggestions. Any issues you see, let us know. We'll take care of it.
And you understand the fact, too, that even though you're being heard by folks well outside the city limits.
Yeah, I know
that. As Terre Haute goes, a lot of the surrounding areas go too. So, I mean, yeah, you're mayor of Terre Haute, but you're also kind of having to look over your shoulder for everybody else.
You do. And I get along with the mayors around here. You know, we talk periodically, and we all work together. I mean, we really do. And everything benefits, whether it's a business that comes to Brazil or Rockville or Sullivan, you pick it. All those things, the employees are going to come from both places, are going to go both directions. And people are going to come to Terre Haute to go to the doctor, you know, go shopping or whatever. And I visit festivals in these small communities. I mean, I love it. I refereed in all these high schools for 30 years. I love West Central Indiana, and we're all just part of that.
Terre Haute Mayor Dick Bennett, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. That wraps up this week's show. If you'd like to go back and review some of it, we've got it for you right now as a podcast on our website, and we will see you next week.
To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518 or send an email to frush@dlcmediainc.com. Be sure and tune in again next week at the same time as we focus on the community.